Hoop Strategy Podcast, brought to you by the Bayou Senior. My name is Jesus Acevedo Jr., and with me, as he is every week, is the one and only homie, Zodiac GM.
What's going on? What's going on? How's it going?
It is going well, Zodiac GM. It is Monday night here in Houston, Texas, where we record. And, you know, we just had a monumental moment in the NBA. But before we get to that monumental moment, historic moment, some would say, you know, we got to talk about the next sign in the horoscope wheel or astrology wheel, whatever you want to call it. And that is Taurus. And, you know, Taurus is the main thing I've always remembered about Taurus is two things, you know, they're hard headed. Good and bad, right? And their, I guess, logo or what have you is a bull, right? Is it a bull? Am I correct? Or
you're right. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
The bull, right?
Yeah, Taurus. Uh-huh.
And look, a bull strong. A bull, you know, hard to take down, you know. But go ahead. Like, break down. What is a Taurus?
Well, a Taurus, so you're think of it as a hard moving object, right? A bull. They're not easily convinced if they're making decisions, right? So they're probably the most stubborn sign in the zodiac. It's a fixed sign, right? So the one thing to also note,
and you know
about,
what? Let me stop you right there. I think stubborn is a better word than hard headed. I take it back, Taurus. You're not hard headed.
There you go. Stubborn. And that's a good thing, because even for businesses or whatever it is, you know, there are times where sometimes we're just fixated on certain things. Say you are a Taurus and someone's trying to tell you like, hey, we could do this because of this, or say, or whatever the scenario is. And then you stick to your guns, and then you follow through, and then you end up being right, or you ended up doing the right thing. So there's good and bad to being stubborn in a sense, but that's what a Taurus is. Taurus are known for giving really, really good advice. I mean, that's the one thing about Taurus. They're very patient. They're very calm, right? And again, it is a fixed sign. So
a steady hand, right? A steady hand.
Exactly, yeah. They're the ones, like say in a family, the person you can always count on would be the Taurus, because they are very family oriented. They're very, they're full of advice, like great advice at that. So, you know, there's also consistency. They don't like change. They're more, you know, depending on what their moon sign is. But majority of Taurus likes, you know, predictability. You know, they tend to be homebodies. Again, it all depends on what their moon sign is. But that's the way they are.
Here's where I'm going to pull a real Zodiac GM moment. You know, you told me, you know, some weeks back where you had an interaction with the Taurus and you immediately picked out that he was a Taurus before you knew his birthday. Why don't you tell us through that situation and how you realized that he was a Taurus?
Well, it depends which one, because there's several. What are you talking about?
So many. With the blind scenario situation, which, somebody okay didn't ask.
Yeah, I'll a thing about Taurus, for example, fixed signs, they don't like being told what to do, right? And they don't like change, right? So, you know, there was something that I was working on at a family member's home, and you know, it was a brother-in-law, and he's so used to having everything, you know, the way it is at the house at his home, right? So I was changing out some drapes for my sister, and yeah, he came out of nowhere and just pretty much says, "Oh, no, don't do that." You know, he basically didn't like the fact that something different was changing, and he wanted it to be the same exact way. And so I ended up putting the blinds back. It was just a minor little decoration change, and just the way
but
he
that was
said
a,
it,
a very Taurus trait, right? Like saying that
it's a very
like,
Taurus
because
trait.
There was change happening. That he
there was change
he didn't want
happening.
That change.
Exactly. Another thing to understand about Taurus, when there's an abrupt change, they not that they rattle, but they don't like it. So they tend to push back right away because, you know, it's pretty much telling them, hey, you know, there's something out of hand. Why are you doing this? I'm so used to something that's been here for so long, so many years. Why are you making a change? And they're going to push back pretty hard because they don't like the constant movement, you know. In order to convince,
No, I was saying, you know, before we get into a Torres tangent, which I'm the one that probably spurred it on, but name me something so quick, NBA players that just fit that Torres mode. The one that I can think of and fits the mode to a T is Chris Paul, right? Family-oriented, steady hand at the point guard position, steady hand. You can always count on him. I mean, unless he gets injured and us Houston fans know about that. But, you know, name us some other Torreses.
Yeah, they're known for dependability. You can always count on them. And most Torreses, they always tend to have the same either stats for their whole career, more often than not, or the same play style. They're always consistent in something that they do anyway.
Another one that you look at them. No, wait. Another one that you look at them and you think Torres, Tim Duncan.
Perfect example. Tim Duncan.
Perfect example.
Yeah, Torres. Simple. Simple, predictable. I mean, everyone knows what he's going to do. I mean, he doesn't go outside his boundaries. He just does what he does good at whatever he does, and consistent, and he's dependable.
Very well consistent, dependable with that move, you know. So I think Torres is, like I say, you know, a stubborn ghost both ways, right? He's good and bad.
Yeah,
you know,
good and bad both ways. Yeah.
Another Torres, the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver, which I think is interesting because, you know, the NBA hasn't seen a lot of big changes, right? Big changes. And I don't want to say that that's because of Adam Silver and he's a Torres and he was the one change. I don't want to say that, right? But in general, it takes a lot to make a big move, you know? But we've seen a couple big changes under his leadership. The playing tournament was one, which, you know, I would say has been very fantastic as a person who likes to watch tough competitive basketball, you know, and that's here to stay. The second one, the in-season tournament. So, like, the in-season tournament was something that, you know, they kind of pulled that idea from soccer, you know, in a lot of soccer leagues, they have mini tournaments within the regular season, you know. Actually, the Houston Dynamo just won the U.S. Open Cup earlier this season. That's the tournament that the United States has while the MLS season and USL seasons are going on. So they took this idea and, you know, the premise was to make some of these early months the games matter. Let's be honest. Previously, this was the time when teams were kind of, let's try and find each other. Let's try and gel. Let's try to, you know, get this new roster. So I enjoyed watching the in-season tournament. I don't know what the ratings came out to be. I haven't actually checked, but I that was a big change that he implemented. You know, what can you tell us about Adam Silver?
You're right. So he's a Taurus with a Capricorn moon. So he's double Earth, right? So every decision that comes within him, it's all based on a business function on how he receives information from other sources, and he thinks of it as, okay, is this going to be good for the business, for the NBA? And he implements that change, and that Capricorn moon helps him do that because they are a cardinal sign. They do initiate, but they make that initiation based on an earthly matter sense. You know, in this sense, it's more, he's doing it for business, right? So it's a good thing. It's a good change, and his Taurus, it makes it complete. Like, so also another trait with the Taurus is that whatever task they're given, they're going to complete it. Just know that, you know, they're not gonna, you know, just half-ass it or nothing. They're gonna complete it and they're gonna finalize it. So once he introduces that change, he's gonna follow through with it and complete it. And that's what you're seeing right now. So yeah, well, that's a good leadership quality right there.
He definitely completed it. And the Los Angeles Lakers actually were the ones that completed the in-season tournaments because they became the first champions of the in-season tournament. They're going to get a banner and everything from what I was reading. But the banner, unlike championship banners, so the banner is going to have space to keep adding years that the team wins the in-season tournament, which that just goes to show you that the in-season tournament is here to stay. But yeah, so the Los Angeles Lakers are your in-season tournament champions. They went undefeated during tournament play, 4-0 during the group play, and then 3-0 in the playoffs, or 4-0. What total? They were undefeated. LeBron won the in-season tournament MVP. And in the final against the Indiana Pacers, AD looked like the AD from 2020 that helped the Lakers win that championship title, you know, which some people call the Mickey Mouse title. But it's still a title regardless, you know. And look, every fan base that calls it that, they wish their team would have won that title. And they will gladly welcome a Mickey Mouse title. You know, but the only thing I'll say about the NCAA tournament, the final, was a bit anticlimactic. You know, the part of the fun of this tournament is that, you know, once you get out of the group play, it's a one-and-done tournament, right? So yeah, every game was kind of close, more or less. But the final was a bit anticlimactic. You know, the Lakers, I mean, they had a 16-point lead with 3 minutes left. It was really about done, you know. But what can you tell us about the Lakers and you know, how the Zodiac signs helped them win this tournament, this, you know, one-and-done tournament?
Well, check this out. I don't even think people may even notice or realize the great synergy of starting lineup. You notice they made some change on their starting lineup, right? You notice, I can't remember his name, Austin Reeves. He's no longer, he hasn't started, right? If you look at the starting lineup for the championship game, they had Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Cam Reddish, Torian Prince, and D'Angelo Russell. Now, the key thing about that, when I say 4-1, four out of those five starters are extremely compatible in favor of Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Okay, So first of all, LeBron James, Anthony Davis are compatible. Okay, Anthony Davis, he's a Pisces, a mutable sign. LeBron James, a Capricorn, a cardinal sign. They work very well together, right? Not only that, Cam Reddish, he's a Virgo, earth sign, mutable, meshes very well with LeBron and AD, and also D'Angelo Russell, also a Pisces, mutable sign, works very well with those three, with Reddish, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis. The reason why this works is Torian Prince, he's a fire sign, but he's an Aries. But if you look at the structure of how they utilize him, he's more like a very limited role player, like a 3-and-D type of player, right? He's not heavily used on the offense. He's not the go-to guy. He just does his portion, which is perfect because they don't need him to do that, right? So they have three mutable signs. D'Angelo Russell is a Pisces. Anthony Davis is also a Pisces. And Cam Reddish is a Virgo. Now, back again, when you have mutable and mutable of compatible elements work very, very well together. And then you have the leadership in LeBron James. And what does a leader need to make him glow, to make him, you know, light up? He needs people to follow him. And the Virgos or the mutable signs are the perfect quality for that. So he has three followers that can follow his lead, that can make him, you know, basically do his thing to win, and they ended up winning the championship. So that's the reason why that starting unit worked out very, very well. And you can just see the cohesiveness with that, right? Because before that, Austin Reeves was starting. You know, they even used Hachimura here and there, but it was okay. It was so-and-so, but this starting unit is a lot better, and it goes to show. So that's where they're at.
Now, with Austin Reeves coming out off the bench, the rotation they're using also fits Austin Reeves better, right? Because, I mean, Austin Reeves was still a pretty good and important player for them in this in-season tournament. Maybe, you know, if that's going to be his role, because I do wonder if that'll continue on into the season, right? Definitely, I mean, they saw how it helped to take Austin Reeves off of the starting lineup. But look, he's good enough player that he knows what he can do off the bench, you know, and he can be that spark and just continue to run that second unit.
And he's a Gemini, you know, mutable sign, too. So, you know, he's flexible. He can do bench. He can start whatever they need him to do. He'll make it happen. He'll do it. So
at this point, I did not know Austin was a Gemini. He just climbed up my list of players to watch. I did not know he was a Gemini.
There you go.
There Austin you go. Reeves, Gemini. Gemini. Austin Reeves. You know what? Austin Reeves should be started. God damn it. Take somebody else out.
Nah, it's working, you know, right now, so leave it.
It is. It is. True that. You know, but so the Los Angeles Lakers, they, you know, your first in-season tournament champions. And you know, they took out a team that I actually wanted to see win, was the Indiana Pacers. You know, just because the payroll difference, right? The money would have meant a lot more because it was $500,000 to each player. You know, for that, some of those players that are more lower contract, that's a lot of money, and the Pacers have more of those players. And not just that, I am a fan of their team, of their offense, you know, the number one offense in the NBA, if you can believe it. But before we get to their offense numbers, I want to talk about Tyrese Haliburton. Tyrese Haliburton is leading this Indiana Pacers team, like I said, number one offense, and they average 128 points per game, 128 points. Tyrese, where he's playing as point guard, I as opposed to when he was with the Kings, he was a shooting guard playing with Fox. So as a point guard, He's averaging 27 points, 4 rebounds, and leading the league in 12 assists per game. Easily on his way to another a second All-Star appearance. And look, if he continues, his name is going to be in MVP chatter talks. You know, I mean, I don't know how you take remotes, but his name will be in those conversations. And so I want to know is, you know, what's his sign and what can you tell us about this Indiana Pacers team?
Tyrese Haliburton fits in he's in a great, great situation right now, right? He is a Pisces mutable. Now, last year they were a so-so team, right? Now, notice whenever they got Obi Toppin from the Knicks. Okay, so Obi Toppin is also a Pisces. Now, back again. Pisces, both mutable. They work extremely well together. And notice Toppin has been doing very, very well. The chemistry between he and Haliburton are great. I mean, he just threw the alley-oop pass the other day. Mm-hmm. And then after the game, Toppin was like, wow, yeah, we just connect like that. Of course they do, because they are compatible, right? Not only that, the alignment of the way their starters are set, the other three that I didn't mention was Miles Turner, who's an Aries, Bruce Brown, who's a Leo, and Buddy Hield, who is a Sagittarius. Now, what do those three have in common? They're all fire signs, okay? Now, those three, the alignment, and on top of that, there's Aries the cardinal, Leo's a fix, and Sagittarius is a mutable sign. That alignment works very, very well together. So you have a Pisces, and three fire signs. They work very, very well together only because of how they use them, how the coach utilizes them, right? Haliburton, being a point guard, benefits this unit very well because he feeds off of Obi Toppin. But not only that, he also has these other players who's a fire sign that works well amongst them three. And that's how the coach combines the whole rotation and makes it work. And it has been working. You know, they're not blowing out teams because, yeah, they are one of the best offense in the league, right? But, you know, they're sort of what's their record, like 12-8 or something like that, right? So they're doing good, and they're winning enough games to make it happen. And I do see them being a playoff team for sure this upcoming season. Nick, I mean, at the end of the year,
they are a young team, a talented team, but they have some rounded veterans, and they're 13-8. So you're off by one, because they're actually playing today, if I'm not mistaken. You know, we're recording on Monday night. There are some games going on, and I thought they were playing, maybe not. But so you know, young team, but look. Miles Turner, Bruce Brown, and Buddy Hield, those are players, while they don't think of them as veterans, they fit that tag. They've been in this league 5+ years. You know, each of them, Bruce Brown just won a title with the Denver Nuggets, you know, championship pedigree. But I want to talk about Rick Carlisle.
Okay.
He is one of the most underrated coaches. You know, he doesn't get mentioned a lot. Led the Dallas Mavericks to a title 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Against Miami Heat, right? The first year that LeBron was with the Heat. So what is Carlisle? I think he's a Scorpio, right? How does he fit into this team?
Well, the one thing I also look at a lot is how the relationship between the head coach and the starting point guard is, right? And the reason why I mention point guard is because the point guard is going to have the ball majority of times. And he's going to have to learn or know the plays of what the coach is feeding off of him. So if you have that synergy between the head coach and the point guard, it helps implement their game plan throughout the game, right? So Carlisle, he's a water sign, Scorpio, okay? Now, Scorpio works very well with what Haliburton is, who is a Pisces. Scorpio, Pisces, they mesh very well. So you have that instant synergy, instant connection right off the bat. Whenever they game plan, he feeds off of Haliburton. Haliburton understands him. They're speaking the same language, right? So Haliburton understands what Coach Carlisle wants, and he makes it happen, right? Throughout the floor, and that's the reason why he's throwing big numbers like that. You know, so that's where they're at right now. So yeah, so he's a Scorpio.
Rick Carlisle's a Scorpio. Like I say, he's always been one of those coaches that I really like. And look, this is his second trip with the Pacers, and let's not forget he built that Detroit Pistons team that won against the LA Lakers that had Karl Malone, Gary Payton. When he built that Detroit Pistons team before Larry Brown came in there. You know, so, but look, and like I said, his last coach team was the Dallas Mavericks. And, you know, that's where we're headed with our next topic. So that we can talk about the Dallas Mavericks, but more specifically, Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving just got an injury, a right heel contusion. And currently there is no timetable for his return. So first, I want you to tell me, I don't know, we probably talked about the Mavs, but how do they fit? You know, what formula are they? A 4-1-3-2 with Kyrie? And then how do you see them now that they're not going to have Kyrie?
Well, have you noticed this season, you haven't really heard much about Kyrie. Because, you know, usually when you hear about Kyrie, you hear like a lot of negative stuff, right? Oh, he's this or he hasn't been playing. Kyrie's happy in Dallas. And you know what's a big part of that? Okay, let me first mention, Kyrie's an Aries. He's a fire sign. A big part of that is, I don't know if anyone saw on Twitter where he and Mark Cuban were sitting on the bench chit-chatting, you know, and you could just tell they were just having a good time and they were just connecting. They were vibing, right? Well, the reason why, Mark Cuban, he's a Leo. Now, Leo and Aries works extremely well together. So that's one thing, is because you have the owner, okay, feeding off his energy to a really good player who's actually, when he mentioned that Kyrie's misunderstood, I believe in that, because if you look at Kyrie being on a lot of the other teams, he's sort of like a misfit. He doesn't fit those or other organization. He really doesn't. When he was at the Cleveland Cavaliers, when they won, that was LeBron's team. You look at the roster, every single player or majority of the player, rotational players, were extremely compatible with LeBron, not Kyrie. And guess what happened? Kyrie left, right? Or else if Kyrie was happy, he would have stayed with the Cavaliers. But no, because he had another alpha there, which is LeBron James, opposite energy of him. And Kyrie wanted to do his own thing. Okay. So yeah, so he's happy where he is right now. And the starting unit that they utilize right now, that this team, the way I see it, fits very, very well for Kyrie Irving. You know, you have Derek Jones, who's an Aquarius, I believe. And then you have the Sagittarius and I can't remember names right now. Who else is their starters? They have
the rookie center Wiley, which I'm a big fan of. He's done some great things for them. I didn't think he was gonna be playing them. Not much. Yeah, he's having a big role with them.
Lively. So he's an Aquarius. He's very compatible to Kyrie Irving, right? They have Grant Williams, who is a Sagittarius, very compatible to Kyrie Irving. And then they have Grant Williams. Yeah. So they use a 4-1 lineup, in other words, right? And then Doncic is sort of like the odd man out, but that's Luka. You know, he's a Pisces.
That's talent. Talent supersedes anything.
On top of that, he does like to pass the ball. The way I see it and the way I've seen him is it's not always 100% accurate. Of course, it's never 100% accurate. But the way I see it is that whenever you have at least four compatible on the floor at the same time, that tends to work out very well more often than not, right? The way I see, you know, and it also depends on the rotation is. In this case, even though Luka is the odd man out, as far as for the synergy goes, it still works very well because it favors Kyrie Irving. Kyrie has three other players that are very compatible to him, and then they mesh it well with the star, very talented player who likes to share the ball, you know, with Luka Doncic, and it's working out for them right now.
Dallas Mavericks. Now, what do we think they're going to do without Kyrie Irving? You know, can they still keep that 4-1 synergy going, or is it going to be more of a 3-2 mishap? Yeah. But still, like we said, they still got Luka, right? Luka's still there.
Yeah, Luka they has still have some Luka. Games
in the regular season.
They still have Luka. So the thing with this team is that Kidd and Luka, they are opposite energies, right? Kidd meshes better with Kyrie Irving, right? I was looking at their lineup. They won today. They beat the Memphis Grizzlies, right? 120-113. And I was just observing what they use on their lineup. They did use a 3-2. They inserted Seth Curry at the shooting guard position along with Dante Exum, right? Now, Seth Curry and Exum, they're both compatible to Luka Doncic. So Seth Curry is a Virgo, Exum is a Cancer, and Doncic is a Pisces. Now, those three work very well together. So they have good, strong synergy, right? Now, Derek Lively, he's an Aquarius. And Derek Jones is also an Aquarius. So those are the two. So they use a 3-2 lineup starting-wise, right? But I also noticed they utilize Hardy off the bench. He played 34 minutes. Jaden Harvey, he's a Cancer. So if you insert him in along with, you know, Luka, along with Seth Curry, along with Dante Exum, and they also utilize Marcus Morris, who's a Virgo. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is they have at least three or four players that they utilize off the bench that are all compatible with Doncic. So they shifted their rotation in favor to help Doncic. The way I see it, the way I'm looking at the minutes allocated and everything. So whenever they put a product of five on the floor throughout the game, I can see a lot of compatible lineups that benefits Luka Doncic, and it showed they won, even though, you know, Memphis doesn't have a good record this year, but they are a very formidable team as well.
Luka Doncic will carry them until Kyrie Irving comes back. And look, Kyrie Irving, there's no timetable, right? But they haven't said he's out for the season, so he'll come back. Kyrie Irving, when was he drafted? He was drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers, and that'll be our last topic. You know, we haven't talked much about the Cavs this season so far. Zodiac, they're hanging in there in the Eastern Conference. They are currently 13-10. Lost one day, you know, but they're a team that I think, from what I remember, even last year, you were telling me, you know, phone calls, text, whatever, or even just on Twitter that I was tweeting Zodiac, is that this team is kind of a little miss. It's not a complete gelling, right? Situation between, you know, some of the stars. Would that be correct to say?
Yeah, I would say so. And you can tell, right? Or else we'd be talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers and how good of a chemistry they have, and they would be like one of the top three teams because they have the talent. They have the young superstar. They have the superstars. Like, they have it, but it's not fully 100% there. There's something a little bit off, and that's because their synergy is off. Their two best players, backcourt, Darius Garland, who's an Aquarius, and Donovan Mitchell, who's a Virgo, they are opposite energies, right? And you can just get a sense. I've read other people's Twitters and so forth that even they would say, like, they need maybe more time, or they just don't see eye to eye, or whatever it is. But they don't really talk much about them. Oh, the chemistry is great between Mitchell and Garland. You don't hear that as much because they speak the different language. They're opposites, right? They use a 3-2 lineup. You know, but they make it work, and they do have a winning record because they have enough talent to make it happen. And they do have two superstars. You know, I would consider Garland maybe up there, you know, a little bit of tier below, but he's still a star, right? So they have a lot of talent to win games, but the synergy is average, I would say. A little bit above average, but not the best, you know?
The coach fit into this? How does the what's his
now,
sign? And
the coach, he's a Pisces, a mutable sign, works very well with Donovan Mitchell. So I can see a relationship between Bickerstaff and Donovan Mitchell working very well. And also another player that's in the starting lineup that works well with those two is Jared Allen. He's a Taurus. You know, all he does, you know, he blocks, rebounds, does all the, you know, the big man stuff with, you know, him being the starting five. Now, the three that are opposite of those is Darius Garland. They have a lot of air signs. I noticed that they have even Isaac Okoro is an Aquarius. Darius Garland's Aquarius. Evan Mobley is a Gemini. They work well amongst themselves. And I know they even have Max Strus, who's an Aries. So that group that I just mentioned works well amongst themselves. But then you have a ball dominant player in Donovan Mitchell, who's on the opposite side of the synergy spectrum, that kind of conflicts a little bit, along with utilizing, you know, Caris LeVert, you know, Wade, and all these other earth water signs that are compatible to Donovan Mitchell. So it's sort of like a mix, half and half, sort of, and they try their best to make things work, but it depends on the coach utilizing, because Darius Garland, whose opposite energy is Donovan Mitchell, is also ball dominant. So you kind of have to manage those two, right? And see how they mesh well together. And on top of that, their balance of synergy is a little bit offsetting. It's not like the Dallas Mavericks, where they have a lot of players that they can use to fit Kyrie Irving, just leaving Doncic by himself, or they can also go in reverse where they can find players that fits Doncic and so forth. The Cavaliers are not really there. Not they're not really like that.
And look, they're talented enough to get into the playoffs, but as a front office, you have to look at it and be like, do we just want to make the playoffs, maybe get into second round and lose, or do we want to actually try and compete for a title? Because they are a talented team, but I think they have to make a decision. And to be honest, the decision is going to have to be, do we trade Donovan Mitchell or not? Because he's a free agent after the season, and he has already come out and said that he's not going to sign an extension during the season. He said, we can talk after the season for sure, but right now, you know, focus on the season. So If you're
this
a team,
is all business for him. He's a Virgo. Another thing to understand about Virgos, everything they do is business, right? And he's playing, he's doing his job, he's getting paid for it, right? But emotionally, I don't see him wanting to even be there. And I think he knows that the chemistry is not the best that he would like it to be. So, you know, you can already get a sense of that. Virgos, they're smart and they're very analytical and they pay attention to a lot of details. Of course, they're not going to say it out in public, right? Of course not. But I can just get a sense that Donovan Mitchell is not 100% happy, or else he'll be saying, wow, you know, this team is great, I want to stay here. Or else he'll be saying stuff like that. But, you know, he just... his energy doesn't mesh well with the whole unit. So it's just the way
it is. Here's a question before we get out of here on this episode. What was his Zodiac like, chemistry like when he was with the Jazz? You know, because him and Rudy Gobert sometimes clash, but how was it with the rest of the team? Just to kind of get the vibe and see, because maybe we saw him happy in Utah, right? I'm saying we saw him.
You're right. If I'm not mistaken, was it Quinn Snyder? Yes. Coach, right? He's a Scorpio who meshes very well with Donovan Mitchell, and so does Rudy Gobert, who's a Cancer, right? So those three that I mentioned, from the coach, Rudy Gobert, and Donovan Mitchell, are compatible. The one thing I noticed, and I've seen with the Jazz, the whole unit, if I look at the roster, there were maybe about, I would say, about 70% compatible to players like opposite of them. I can't remember the players that they had.
Bryce O'Neal, Ingles.
There you go. Ingles.
Mike Conley Jr.
Exactly, yeah. So Junior, Mike Conley, who's a Libra, Bojanovic, who's an Aries, Ingles, who's a Libra, O'Neal, who's a Gemini. All of those players I just mentioned are compatible amongst themselves. And they had a lot of players like that, even Jordan Clarkson, who's also a Gemini.
Right.
So what I'm trying to say is that if they utilize a rotation of 10 men, right, seven of them were compatible to each other, right? And then they would have players, you know, I would say seven or eight were compatible, and then Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert were the only ones that were compatible just for those two. And then the rest were compatible for the other side. So it worked out well. On top of that, I mean, they had one of the elite defenders in, you know, Rudy Gobert. I mean, and it's paying off right now in Minnesota for him too. So that also helped them win a lot of games because of defense, you know. The defense was very, very solid. And they depended a lot on Rudy Gobert too.
I think I'm going to make a prediction and say I think Mitchell gets he might be, for sure, around January, February, we're going to hear a lot more of his name thrown around, even if the Cavs are doing well. Just, I think in front office, you're thinking, are we going to lose this guy for nothing? You know, that from a
where
business
do you
side
think,
of thing.
Where do you think he might go? You've come out with some good predictions.
I don't know. I got to come. I don't know about that yet.
What do you think about New York? What do you think about New York? I know.
I've seen that thrown around. I know, and I know he would do well. I don't know how he meshes with that chemistry wise, right? But talent wise, you know, he also be going with the tough coach, right? Tom Thibodeau, very, very hard nosed, very, you know, who I'm a fan of for his defensive schemes. But yeah. So that's what make. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets traded during the mid season.
But something really that in Denver.
Denver. Oh, that'll be. I don't think they'll have. They don't want to mess with that team right now.
No, but you know, he matches well.
Mm-hmm. He matches well, yeah. But I don't think Denver wants to mess with their own team, you know, what they created. Yeah. You know, because you got to think, whoever trades for Donovan, they have to pay him, hope that he stays with them in the offseason, right? Because he's not going to sign an extension. So it's almost like a rental, right?
You're right.
So I can't completely predict. But I can predict that this episode is coming to an end, Zodiac GM. Before we get away, what are your final words for the listeners?
Follow us on Twitter, X, the Zodiac GM, and Hoopstrology.
Hoopstrology, and follow us at the Bayou CDN, and follow me, Jesus Acevedo Jr. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget to subscribe. See ya.